Tonight, we're going to continue our thoughts from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13 in the series of lessons that we've been presenting on heaven. And we've talked about several things in this regard. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, Peter writes, "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." And it's the last part of that verse that we're keying upon here in thinking about rejoicing because of the blessings that are going to be given to us when Christ returns someday. When His glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. And so the idea is that we are to rejoice in the knowledge of Christ's eventual return and in the knowledge of our one day being with Him in heaven. And as we've been thinking about those things, we've noted some very good reasons for the Christian to rejoice in eternity. The first lesson, we talked about how that in eternity that we will be with God and Christ forever. And for that reason alone, it is enough to rejoice. But then, secondly, we talked about how that in eternity we will be separated from evil. Third, in eternity we will have a new body. And then tonight we're going to finish up this series of lessons by thinking about how that in eternity we will be united together in love. Now, these are all wonderful and precious promises that God has given us and that we have to look forward to in the hopes of being motivated by these things so that we can live as Christ wants us to live. You know, John said in 1 John chapter 2, he said, "Beloved, it's wonderful to be called children of God." And knowing that we're children of God, we don't know what it's going to be like one day, but then he says this, "But we know that we will be like Him." And that's what encourages us and motivates us to live forward. And so he says in the next verse there, this is in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he says in the next verse, he says, "Therefore, because we know that we're going to be like Him, everyone that has this hope, everyone that has this hope within him, he lives as Christ would want us to live." And the idea is that by having the hope of heaven within our life, that's going to motivate us to have a wonderful life, to live a wonderful life, to live in a way that God wants us to live, and so thereby to really have the kind of life that Christ wants us to have. And so the joy that we talk about is not only going to be revealed to us in heaven, but the joy that we're talking about can be had right here, right now as well. And that's something that eludes many people in today's world and many Christians. It eludes many Christians because they don't quite know how to grasp that joy that is before them even in this world. But it is there and it is available. And we can have it if we will let the proper things motivate us, if we will let those things engage our minds, engage our thoughts in such a way so that we really do think about and that we really do consider the promises that God has made for us. But tonight we want to talk about this last point, which is that in eternity we will be united together in love. United together in love. And that this is a great reason for us to rejoice and have joy within our life. Now, Jesus said in John 15 and verse 11, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." That your joy might be full. And so Jesus knows what He's doing. And if we'll put our faith and trust in Him, we can have the things that He says we should have. So what do we think about when we think about in eternity being united together in love? Well, as we think about that, and as we let that motivate us for us to have joy in this life and the expectation of joy to come, I think that a lot of times while we're living in this life, we let sin and we let problems and we let difficulties and disagreements and things like that get in the way of our loving one another. But you know, there is no greater relationship with a fellow human than a relationship that is based upon love. And when you have that relationship with another person, and Jesus is telling us that we can have that relationship with everyone, really. But it's our own sins that get in the way of having that relationship. But I know that we've all experienced this at one time or another, that we have been able to just have a very deep and loving relationship with someone else. And if we have not had that relationship, you don't understand what that is, then perhaps you need to think about what the Bible is saying in regard to loving one another, because that's really what it's all about. But I know that some have, and I've had those experiences, and they are among my most cherished memories. Those loving relationships that we develop within this life and those good relationships that we have with others, those are the things that we value. Those are the things that we cherish. Those are the things that we remember. And we remember those things over a long period of time because it's something that's really important to us and it's something that we really want to hold on to. Now, imagine this. Imagine the most loving relationship that you've ever had with someone and multiply that by all the Christians that have ever lived upon the face of the earth being together in eternity with one another forever. Now imagine that for just a moment. Think about that, because that's what's awaiting us in eternity. Yes, God is really going to make that happen. You know, a lot of us think about that, and we think, well, how is that even possible? You know, I can't even imagine that I would have such a loving relationship with someone else other than this dearly beloved person that I've had a relationship with, a loving relationship with. But God's going to make it happen. And why is it that He's going to make it happen? Because God Himself is love. He's what it means to have love. And if we've ever had a loving relationship with someone else, it's because God has enabled that to happen. Because love comes from Him. And love is something that binds us all together as God wants us to be bound together. And so our first point tonight is this, that in eternity, we will be united together in love, because God is love, and we will love one another. Now, think about what John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. And so our deepest, most abiding, loving relationships come from God first and foremost. And God is going to ensure that we have those loving relationships in eternity. And the greatest relationship that we will have that is based upon love is the love that God has for us. And God is going to redeem us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and bring us to Him. And the very first relationship that we're going to know in eternity is our relationship with God, and that love is going to surpass all other love that we have ever known. And the love that He has for us is going to be known in a personal and direct way, and you're going to feel it, and there's going to be no doubt about it, and it's going to be the greatest thing that you've ever experienced. But then that's going to be multiplied by all of the other souls that are going to be in heaven. And they're going to have that same loving relationship with God. And then that loving relationship is going to be extended to those who are around us as well. And it's really going to be great to be in heaven. And that love that we experience here on earth is just a taste of what is to come. The greatest loving relationship that you've had, it's just a taste of what is going to happen there. John wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 6, "And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. He said, "And now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." The greatest of these is love. And so in eternity, we'll be united together in love because God is love. And we will be there to love one another. But then in eternity, we'll be united together in love because it is God's desire that we, as His people, be united together. And as I said earlier, you know, there's imperfection here on the earth. We don't experience the kind of unity that we will experience in heaven when we are in God's presence and in Christ's presence and when we have this fellowship with one another. Unity is another powerful force that we can experience. How many of you have ever been to a concert of some sort, you know, and you've been listening to a song being played, and the song, you know, has a great, I'm going to use another example, but maybe you've been to a baseball stadium or a football stadium, and you've heard the national anthem being played, right? And there's, you know, the swelling pride of patriotism rises up inside of you, and you know that other people are thinking that way. And then at the end, you know, the star-spangled banner there, as the last words are sounded out, people start to cheer. And you start to cheer, right? Because you have that sense of unity, that sense of belonging. This is my country. This is where I live. That same sense of unity, again, is something that comes from God, because God is the one who brings everything together. And He is going to unite us like we've never been united before. Now He unites us right now in Christ Jesus. And this is the eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, that we should all be united together in His Son, that we might become a dwelling place for God's Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 2. And so that's what God wants. But in eternity, we're going to experience that unity on a moment-by-moment basis. It's not going to be like it is today where it's nice when we're together as a family here at the New Boston Church of Christ and we have the same, trying to have the same mind, we're trying to have the same loving attitude, we're trying to be united together in that regard, right? But when we walk out that door, we go our separate ways, and we become something of an individual again, right? And we start, some of us may start to experience some loneliness, right? But we will not have any of that in heaven. The loneliness will not be there anymore. It will be gone, and it will be replaced with an eternal spirit of unity and constant reassurance, number one, of God's presence, but of the presence of all the saints as well. And that will be a tremendous blessing. And we'll have this wonderful unity that the psalmist talked about in Psalm 133 and verse 1. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Yes, it's what God wants. It should be what we want as well. And in eternity, we will be united together in love because it is God's desire that we will all be united together. And we will be united together. And, you know, I don't know how it's all going to be, but I know that it's not going to be the same as it is right now. It's going to be so much better. But then finally, we're going to have, and I think that this is probably one of those things that we struggle with on a daily basis. But in eternity, we'll be united together in love because we're going to have a perfect desire to belong to God. Okay? Now, that's something we don't have right now. We don't have a perfect desire. Now, I know that you have a desire to belong to God, and I'm not questioning that. But I'm talking about a perfect desire. Now, not one of us has that because we have sin in our life, and sin distracts us from having that perfect desire to belong to God. It distracts us from doing what we know we should do, and sometimes we don't do it, and it also puts within our mind's eye the idea that we can do things that we ought not to do. Okay? And that's distracting from having a perfect desire to belong to God. But in eternity, God is going to make it so that we always have that desire. That when we're in eternity, when we're in heaven, we're going to have that desire every single moment. There's not going to be any distractions in this world to pull us away from Him. He will always be there for us. He's always there for us right now, but we will feel it in a real way. We will know it. We will understand it in a pure way, if you will. And there's not going to be a question. No doubts will arise within our mind. No sins will be there to distract us because His presence is going to be felt. Now listen to what Revelation 22 and verses 1 through 5 says. Because this is really, and turn your Bibles to that, to those verses. Because as we think about Revelation 22 and verses 1 through 5, this is really such a beautiful passage. And it's such a great picture of what eternity is going to be like. And we're going to close the series with these verses as we think about what heaven's going to be like and that having that perfect desire fulfilled to be with God. Now look at what John says here in Revelation 22 verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now think about this picture for just a moment. First of all, we see a picture of God healing us from all of our imperfections and all of our impurities, all of our iniquities, all of our sins, but then also all of our flaws, whatever those might be. God is going to heal us from all those things. That's the point of this pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. The tree of life. When's the last time we saw the tree of life? Way back in the beginning of the book of Genesis, right? And that's the tree of which when you eat, and you will live forever if you eat of that tree. Okay? And so it represents eternal life. It represents complete healing. It represents having all of our imperfections done away with. So the tree of life is there. And it's in the middle of the street, and it's on both sides of the river. And it bore 12 fruits, and each tree yields its fruit every month. And that's symbolic of the perfection that God is going to give to His people. The number 12 is symbolic of God's people. And so He is going to give perfect healing to His people. And notice the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And so even the leaves of this tree are going to heal us. You know, I don't know how that's going to work, but God said it's going to work, and it's going to heal us. And there's going to be a great coming together, something that we've never really known before and really will not experience except there. But God is going to heal us of all of our imperfections. And then he says there's not going to be any more curse. That's sin. That's the problem of sin. That's sin getting in the way of really loving other people. That's going to be done away with. But the throne of God and his Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Notice verse 4, they shall see his face. We're going to see the face of God. And that's going to blow everything else away. All right? They shall see his face. And notice that his name will be in our forehead. And that's identity. And we're really going to have our identity there. We're really going to know who we are. We're really going to know who we belong to. And you may say, well, I know who I am. I know who I belong to. And if you do, that's great. But a lot of people struggle with identity issues today. And they have problems with that. And they let things slip in. And sometimes they get distracted by following and pursuing those things when they shouldn't. But God is going to make it so clear what our identity is and who we are, and it's never going to be a question for us again, and there's going to be so much clarity in heaven. And we will see things as God sees them, and we will know things as God knows them in that regard. And then this, God's light will reign supreme over all things. Now look at verse 5. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We're not going to stumble in darkness anymore. We're not going to wonder whether or not we're doing the right thing anymore. We're not going to have self-doubts that bring us down. There's not going to be any more personal sorrow and suffering and mourning and things like that. Because the light of God is going to shine over all things and through all things. And as a result, we're going to be able to reign forever and ever. And you say, well, what does that mean to reign forever and ever? Well, it means to have perfect control over the self. All right? That's the one area that God wants us to reign, and the one area he wants us to control. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control. But that's something that we so often fail to live in this life. But we're going to have perfect self-control in heaven. They shall reign forever and ever. And what a blessing it's going to be. And then, because of all these things, we will have that perfect desire to belong to God. We're not going to want to go anywhere else. We're not going to want to do something other than what God is involved in and what God's purposes have in store for us, whatever that might be. And we're going to be perfectly content with that. You know, sometimes people ask the question, well, how am I going to enjoy heaven if, you know, there's this isn't there or that isn't there or, you know, something like that, you know. And they start thinking about the things that they enjoy in life, the worldly things, you know, they enjoy in life, and start comparing that to heaven and to God. Well, there's not going to be a comparison, all right? You're not even going to have a second thought about all those things. It's going to be so great. And it's going to be so wonderful that when we get there, you're going to wonder if you even knew enjoyment before that moment, because that's how enjoyable it's going to be with God and with Christ and with everybody else in eternity forever. And so we can rejoice in eternity because we will be united together in love. Because God is love, and we will love one another because it is God's desire that we be united together. We'll have this sense of unity that we've never had before, that the greatest feeling of unity that we've had will be just a dim memory in comparison to what we have there. And we will have this perfect desire to belong to God, and because of that, we will really love one another as we want to love one another. But our in some respects, unable to love one another here upon the earth. Well, this has been a wonderful series of lessons, and I hope that you've enjoyed this, and I hope that these lessons have motivated you to want to live the faithful Christian life so that one day we can be together with Him. If you're not a Christian tonight, and you've heard some things that you really think about and you're really like, you know, I want that. I want that love in my life. I want that unity in my life. I want the blessing in my life of desiring God and being with Him forever and eternity. And you would like to become a Christian tonight, you can take those steps this evening, hearing His word and believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus as Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. That opportunity is for you. If you are a Christian and you haven't been living faithfully, and tonight you want the prayers of the church, you want to desire God within your life, and you want to make that your goal and your aim so that you can be with God in heaven, and you need the prayers of the church to make that happen, then we're ready to pray for you and with you. If you have a need, you can come now while together we stand and while we sing.